ago, and back in October, the Orchard family, a group from the Orchard, met with Bel Air and talked about how that they could resource and how that they could help out. And that very well may be part of the 10-20 vision that the Orchard had and has, not had, but has, of starting 10 new churches by the year 2020. And you know, I think even the potential is to even do beyond that, but thank God that God would have us to be part of a 2020 vision or a 2010 vision to be able to start these churches. And so I'm looking forward to Corey coming and working here in this area, if that's what God is up to and what God's leading. So thank you for being here tonight, Corey. Thank you for playing the keyboard for us tonight. And if you have your Bibles a little bit, we'll be in Acts chapter 2. If you want to turn there, it'll be up on the screen. We're going to talk about being the church. And one of the things that Pastor Rich talked a lot about is not just doing church, but being the church. Now, a lot of my life, similar to Pastor Rich, was doing church. I did it as a kid, sometimes unwillingly. I told people I had a drug problem as a kid. My mom drugged me to church whether I wanted to go or not. We had a halftime church. That means that we weren't halftime Christians, I hope. But anyway, a halftime church means they only had church services or preaching services on the second and fourth Sundays. On the other Sundays, the first and the third Sundays, and the fifth Sundays, we didn't have preaching service. So I was always asking, "Is today preaching service?" And Mom would say, "Well, yeah, today." Oh man, today's preaching service. And so I've thought about that as a preacher. How would I want people to feel since I'm the preacher now? And I'm coming to church, and people say, "Oh, no, Brother Ken's day to preach today." Well, I praise God we're not halftime. It's every week. But I think that there's more to just doing church than we ought to be the church. I remember the difference. You see, for a lot of years of my life, I went to church. I did church because it was part of what I was supposed to do. But when I gave my life to Jesus, I went to church then because I wanted to. I went to church then to be part of it. I wasn't a spectator. I mean, the church that I grew up in, it wasn't like this. It had windows, and I would sit there and I'd watch everything that was going on outside while the preacher was preaching. I watched the squirrels out in the trees, and I killed 100 squirrels out there. Never ate any of them, but I killed them from there in my pew. And people who would sit there in the pew before me evidently had gotten bored, and they'd scratch stuff all over the pew, and I tried to make sense out of what they had scratched on the pew. I did, and the preacher where I was at, he stuttered, and then he would say, "The little boy said," and I count how many times he said, "The little boy said." I did everything but pay attention. I went through motions, and then I went from there to, when I got 16, I went to a different church because that church didn't have any girls in it, and I'm just being honest, okay, and so I wanted to go to a church that had some girls as potential, and so I went to Blooming Grove Baptist Church, and my wife will hit me later, and she's standing back there like this, but I went to Blooming Grove, but it was just doing church because my sister wanted me to go, and because of the people who were there of the opposite sex, and so I went to that church, but it was just doing church. For a lot of years of my life, it was just doing. And in reality, though, when I gave my life to Jesus, it was a radical change took place. A radical change took place because I was part of. I was being the church. And boy, what a difference that made in my life. And as a pastor, over the years, there's been times I probably did church as a pastor. If you've been a Christian very long, has there been times that you just did church just to do it because it was a thing to do at the time? And I've determined that I don't want to just do it because it's time to go do it. I want to be the church, and I want to be the church 7 days a week, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But being the church is more than just doing. And the danger through these few weeks here and the last few weeks is, as you've come on Saturday night and you've come on Sunday morning to do church. But being the church is what it's all about. And in experiencing God together, the book that we're going to be studying the next 9 weeks, it's going to talk about us experiencing God together. Because that's what church is all about, is experiencing God. Isn't that the reason why that you come? And yeah, there's fellowship, and we're going to deal with those aspects of it. But folks, I want to come to experience God. I want to be where God's at. I want to experience Him. When I come to church, I really expect God to show up. And I expect God to show up where people are gathered and meeting. But I want to be the church wherever I go. Whether it be at Cracker Barrel or whether it be some other place, I want to be the church wherever I'm going. And we'll talk some definitions of that and talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. But right now, I want to read with you today in Acts chapter 2. And Andrea, have it up here on the screen tonight. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to be reading with verse 46 and finishing with 47. Listen to what the Word of God says tonight in Acts chapter 2. In verse 46, it says, "And every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved." I want to be a part of a church like that. I wanted my lifelong desire is to be part of something like that. Let's pray tonight. Father, I want to pause to you right now and bow before you and ask you that you might use me tonight as your vessel. God, I'm helpless and I'm hopeless without you tonight. There's not a thing I can do without you. And God, I ask you tonight that you just might use me as your vessel tonight. God, I desire that these people experience you. I desire to experience you myself. But God, I also desire that we experience you together. That we can do far more together than we can do apart. So help us capture and help us see what you talked about in Acts chapter 2 and throughout the New Testament of your church experiencing you together. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at experiencing God together, being the church 7 days a week, that's important. And being the church, not just on Saturday night and on Sunday morning and when your church meets. Now, I didn't say coming to church 7 days a week. I have a good friend of mine who recently talked about how everything was going so well at their church because every night they had something scheduled. They had this scheduled on Monday night and this scheduled on Tuesday night and midweek services on Wednesday night. Then they had something on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. I said, and so you call that spiritual just because you are going to be going to church 7 days a week? Well, yeah, folks, he didn't say anything about being in church 7 days a week. It's talking about being the church 7 days a week. Being the church 7 days a week is vitally important. You see, when you go out of this place tonight, you're going to be the church wherever you go. Because the church is not a building. Because if the church was a building, the Orchard Church would be in trouble. Because we don't own a building. The church is far more than the building. The church is the people, the body of Christ that God has placed here in this spiritual family right now. Being the church 7 days a week. Let's look at what took place as they was a church 7 days a week. Number one, being prepared to receive what God is saying to you. Being ready to receive what God is saying to us. Have you ever not been ready to receive a message? Can you think about that? Maybe there's been messages in your life that you just wasn't quite prepared for. I believe being the church 7 days a week, God prepares us to receive the message that He wants to get across. And being the church 7 days, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. These new believers here and who had just recently trusted Christ as their Savior. There was 3,000 of them one day. Now, that's some church growth. That's church growth beyond what we see in our day and time. 3,000 are added to that church one day. And listen what happened as a result. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were being prepared for what God was going to tell them and what God was saying to them. Are you being prepared for what God is going to say to you these next few weeks? To being prepared to what God wants to say to you, you've got to be in tune with who He is and what He is saying. Being together is part of being the church 7 days a week. Being together in celebration time, this church here in Acts, it says, and every day they devoted themselves, being prepared to hear what God is saying to them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and they also meeting together in the temple complex and house to house. You see, that this early church, not only did it meet together in the temple complex, and that's a celebration time. That's what we're doing here on Saturday night and on Sunday morning, is celebrating together. Isn't it fun to come together and celebrate? Let me try that again. Isn't it fun to come together and celebrate? I like celebrations. And it reminds me of Romania and the story of Romania, because they couldn't, under communism in Romania, they couldn't gather as a church like we're gathering here tonight. They had to find some reason to have a celebration. Some Romanians had 14 and 15 birthdays every year so that they could come together and celebrate. You see, the communists wouldn't stop them from having a birthday party, but they couldn't come and worship Jesus together. And so when they came together, it was a celebration. It was a birthday party. It may have been the 14th that year, but it was a celebration. They weren't celebrating a birthday. They were celebrating a relationship with Jesus. And that's something to celebrate. Our time of gathering together here in this building on the weekends ought to be a time of hallelujah of what God's doing in our life. Have you ever been part of a gathering like that? When you came together and it was just an exciting place to be and you really didn't want to leave once you got there? How many have ever been part of something like that before? Isn't it exciting? Don't you want that to have that on a regular basis of what God's doing? Can only be described on God's terms. I remember being part of a church, actually a couple of different times in my life, where it was like that. People, when they come together, they just didn't want to leave. Now, there's some who went ahead and left. But I remember we had a meeting going on, and the service was over with, and people just stayed. Matter of fact, not too awful long ago up in Sheboygan, I was in a revival meeting up there, and I just gave a simple invitation for people to come, and then I went and sat down in the back. And 45 minutes later, people were still gathered in the auditorium, in sanctuary area, just praising God and testifying and sharing about what God was doing in their life. That's exciting. That's exciting for me, of experiencing God together. And the church, just God was working in a marvelous way. You see, when a church begins to do that, and I believe that as the worship services and the celebrating time together, because if you look at the bulletin, this is the gathering time. We're gathering together. We're gathering together to celebrate what Jesus Christ has done. We're gathering to celebrate. And they also went from house to house. Now, this is where the seven-day-a-week thing came in, and I looked in the bulletin there today, as well as you can, and see that the Orchard Church in various venues and various small groups are going to be meeting together every day. There'll be a different small group on each day of the week for the next 9 weeks. Isn't that's a church gathering. That's a church going from house to house. That's building that, you know, what the Orchard's done and what other churches have done may seem new and revolutionary, but really that's exactly what the church did in the book of Acts. They had a celebration time. They gathered in the temple complex, and then they went from house to house. That's the small groups. And really, in the next few weeks, I'd like to kind of even change the name small groups to living life together, because experiencing God together. And life group, because isn't that what your small group's all about, is doing life together? The Christian life of developing. And if you're not part of a small group, we want you to be part of a small group, because you can experience God through your small groups. When that church began to celebrate and began to meet, and being the church 7 days a week, they had a huge, huge impact on their community. They had a huge impact on their community. And it says, and they had favor with all people. Now, that's huge for me. That's, as a person who have spent my life dealing with church, you know, and dealing with writing a doctrinal dissertation on church growth, and looking at churches who grew and churches who died, and looking at those things and talking about church growth, which that's stuff that I just devour. I love to read about it. But this church here had something that very few churches have. It had the impact of its community. They didn't have evangelistic campaigns. They didn't have door-to-door stuff going on. But what they was doing is they were meeting house to house. And the grace of God was so upon them. And they were experiencing God together in such a way that the whole community took notice of what was going on. They said, hey, we want to be part of that. And they had favor with everybody in their community. That's amazing. But that's the type of impact that you can have when you experience God together. The Lord added daily to the church. And that would be the first chapter in Henry Blackaby and Mel's book here, is God has no orphans. You see, the Lord added daily to the church those who are being saved. Boy, Corey, I long to be part of a church that's seeing people saved on a daily basis. Boom. That means people are being saved in small groups. People are being saved on a daily basis. That means lives are being changed regularly. And when lives are being changed regularly, that makes the celebration a whole lot more joyful. It makes it a whole lot more joyful when people are standing and sharing about how God has changed their lives. When people are being added to the church daily, when lives are, because of the impact of being a church 7 days a week, and it's impacting your communities, and it's impacting where you are, man, it would be something that would take this area by storm. Not doing it just to do church, but being the church. It's so vitally important, the difference of just doing church or being the church. And we need to be the church 7 days a week. No matter where we go, we are the church as we go. Being the church means God has no orphans. God has no orphans. How many of us have ever been overseas before? How many has ever been to an orphanage overseas? Lucas, share with us a little bit about your experience. I'm putting him on the spot because he didn't know I was going to do this. I like doing this with my kids. Go ahead and share with us a little bit about being in an orphanage in Romania. Don't fall, son. I'm sorry. Mozambique. Lane. Here you go. Take it all with you. I forget that Lucas had been on mission trips without Dad and been to Mozambique. But when I think of an orphan, I think of the ones that I've seen in Romania. And you know, what you guys have seen on TV and some of the orphans in Romania and Moldova and some of those areas of these poor little kids. And I've seen some sad situations. And I've seen situations they will not let you take a camera into an orphanage. And I've been in them where they was so cold. In there that I had all the coats on that I had, and I was still cold, and that's what those kids slept in. And I think of those things, and I think of those orphans, and not only that, but also the old orphanages here in America. Now, we live in a sophisticated society today that we don't think we have to deal with that type of thing in America, but not too distant long ago, there was lots of orphanages that was around in America, and one of the ladies who was a member of my church, a United Missionary, had been raised in an orphanage. And she would share with me, especially as she was dying, the things that had taken place and the things that she had went through. She said, you don't know how it feels to wake up and be all alone and have nobody there that cares about you and really shows you that type of love. Well, I want you to know God has no orphanages. He has no orphanage and He has no orphans in His family. We are placed in a love relationship with God. First of all, when we are born again, we are placed in a love relationship with God. God desires to have a relationship with you. The deepest longing in a person's heart is to have a relationship with God. That's the deepest longing that a person has. And you may not realize that is your deepest longing, but that is the deepest longing that a person will ever have, is to have a personal relationship with God. One writer wrote it like this: there is a God-shaped void in your life that only He can fill. And He desires to fill that. And when you're born into the family of the church, and being the church means God doesn't have any orphans. You're placed in a love relationship with God. Number two, you're born into a spiritual family. When I was born again, I was born into the spiritual family a Blooming Grove Baptist Church in McLeansboro, Illinois. When I was born again, that was the family that had charge of me. That was a family that God placed me in to help nurture me and to help grow. Now, previous to that, God had had me in some other places, but that was the family to help nurture me and to help grow me in my faith in Jesus Christ. And God will place you in a spiritual family. Just like Sadie Jo, wherever she may be right now, but just like Sadie Jo, when she was born back on May the 6th of 2006, when she was born, she was placed into Ken and Cindy Wilson's family. She had an older brother of 19 and a half years of Lucas, and another brother, KJ, and a daughter and a sister, Andrea. That's what she was born into, that family. And you know, it's amazing that she was placed there in the Farr family. And we were responsible to bring her up. We were responsible for her care, to nurture her and to help her be all that she can be for Jesus. But it was our responsibility to take care of that little girl. And you know, as Christians, when somebody is born into the family of the Orchard, it's the Orchard's family responsibility to take care of that new baby. It's the Orchard's responsibility to take care of that new believer. You see, when people are come here and they're born into this family, the family responsibility then becomes to the Orchard. That means a person who comes, and the reason I ask people call me Brother Ken is because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that makes you and me brothers. If you're a man, and if you're a sister, that means you're my sister. I'll never be a sister, but anyway, but I'll be your Brother Ken, and if you're a lady, you may be my sister in Jesus Christ. That makes us a family. That makes us part of a body of believers. The part of the body of believers that God has placed right here. We're placed into a spiritual family. God does not birth any orphans. God always puts people, and he desires to put people in a church family. Now there was a guy that I had serious problem with one time. His name was Phil Miller. If you know Phil, I'm sorry. Phil was a guy that maybe a different Phil, okay? But anyway, here was a guy who said, "Well, I am the church. I don't need to go to church." And he would go out and he would tell people about Jesus. And he said, "Well, I am the church. They don't need to be part of a church. Show me that in the New Testament. Take your New Testament and show me that a person being born again is not born into a family. They're not just born to be illegitimate children. They're not born as orphans. They are born into a family that God has placed them into, a spiritual family. Just like Sadie Joe was placed into my family." You see, God births people and places them in a spiritual family. We are placed into a living body, the church. The church is living. It's not dead. And the church is dead, we've got serious problems. Right? It's born into a living. The church is something that's alive. It's being church. It's something that's active and moving and growing. We're placed into a loving environment. Is this place loving? Amen. Got any yes out there? We need to make it so loving when people come to this body of believers. That when they walk in, they say, "Wow." We can sense the love of Jesus and the love for each other when we walk into that place. That's a desire that I would have for this church. It's a desire that I'd have for any church that I desire to be part of. Is I want them to be. Does that mean always everything's going to go perfect and they're going to have any problems? No. But we ought to have a loving atmosphere and a loving group of people. When somebody new comes in here, they need to feel the love of Christ. Now, I've heard this over and over again over the years. Well, you know, the small churches are just more warm and just more friendly than larger churches. And I've got a good word for that. Baloney. Baloney. It's a real, real spiritual word, or hogwash would be another old southern term there. Yeah, I'm telling you, sometimes the most rude and difficult places for me to go was a small church. They were friendly, all right. They were friendly to themselves. Let me tell you about a church I went to one time. I went to two places one day. I went to a church and I went to a funeral home. Okay? When I went to the church that day, there was nobody to greet me. Thank you, Jan, for being here greeting people tonight as well as others. But there was nobody to greet me when I went to the church. I opened the door. And I got there early, and that church, they happened to have Sunday school. And so I looked for a Sunday school class to go to. They got an argument over where I was supposed to go to. I ended up in a senior adult ladies class. Folks, I may fit a lot of places, but I don't fit the senior adult ladies class. That's where I ended up being in Sunday school at. And then I got ready to go to the front, and they asked me what I was doing. I said, "Well, I'm going to preach today." It was weird. It was just really cold, and it was just standoffish. I got done. Nobody invited me to dinner. Nobody even said boo or thank you or hardly anything. And so I said, "Well, I guess I'm done." So I left, and I had to hurry to get to the funeral home because I had a funeral to do that afternoon. And when I got to the funeral home, somebody met me at the door. They opened the door for me. They had a guest register for me to sign up there. I think the undertaker was kind of sizing me up a little bit, but anyway, I mean, they had all this stuff going on, and they made me feel welcome. They said, "Oh, we see that you're the preacher today. We're so glad to have you, and glad that you could be here for the family to do the service," and on that they went. And I want you to know, if I had a choice of joining the two, I'd have joined the funeral home rather than the church. I would have joined the funeral home because it was a lot more friendly than the church I'd been to that morning. And I don't want ever to hear that the Orchard Church was not a friendly place to be. You see, we are placed into a loving body. A living body, but a loving body and in a loving environment. Let's do everything we can to keep this and to make it even better, being a loving place. And as we experience God together, it will get better. We are placed in the kingdom. We are placed in the kingdom of God. You see, God births us into a local body that's going to be our care. But the difference between the church and the kingdom of God is difference. The local body is this body of believers that God has placed us in right now. The kingdom of God is all the other believers all around us and all around the world. That's the body, the kingdom of God that we've been placed into. We're kingdom citizens. We've been placed at our new birth experience into the kingdom of God. Everybody that's been born again is being born into the kingdom. As a matter of fact, Jesus talks about, as he went from place to place, he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." It's our business to seek the kingdom. And our churches, individually, God placed the church as a place for evangelism. God placed the church as a place for to nurture and to grow individual believers and to grow us together to be kingdom citizens. And God wants us to be fruitful in the kingdom. Well, let's talk about living real life together. It's kind of a thing that I'll be doing the next few weeks and probably even on after that. But living real life together, number one, have you been born spiritually into God's family? Have you been born spiritually into God's family? Have you been born again? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? That's what it's all about, folks, is having a personal relationship with Him. If you've not been birthed into the family of God, I invite you today to trust Christ as your personal Savior. You say, well, I don't know anything about that. How would you go about having a new birth experience? How would you go about being born into the family of God? Well, it's very simple. Number one, you've got to recognize and realize that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've got to realize that you are a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's none an exception to that. We've all sinned. I remember of the sin God convicted me of and the sins God convicted me of. And then it's as simple as God's drawing you that you pray a simple prayer and put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That you put your faith and your trust in Him. Something like this: "Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. And I realize that I cannot come to you on my own. But I trust what you've done for me on the cross. I believe that you died for me. And I'm accepting your forgiveness right now." You see, I really believe with all my heart, when you begin to place your faith and your trust in Jesus, Jesus saves you. I believe when you move from realizing where you are to putting your faith in Him is all the difference in the world. Of placing your faith, God, I'm placing my faith solely upon you and you alone. Nothing else will do. One great lady that I know, she said she wrestled with this for a long time, and she finally come and sit on the edge of her couch one day, and she said, "God, if you want to send me to hell, I guess that's okay, but if I go to hell, I'm going to go to hell trusting you. I'm going to go trusting you." And she said, "I had the greatest release," because she said, "For the first time in my life, I have fully put my trust in Jesus and Jesus alone." Have you done that? Have you been born into the family of God? If you haven't, you can do that tonight. You could pray right now. Just take this time and bow your head and close your eyes. "Father, I'm putting my trust in you. Nothing else is going to work. I'm totally trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen." If you would pray that, your little communication card there has a place for you to check that you have prayed, received Christ. I encourage you to do that if that's something you've done tonight. Living real life together means that you have to experience that personal relationship with Him. Are you experiencing God's great salvation? Are you experiencing God's great salvation? One of the things that you're going to be talking about and we'll be talking about in the next few weeks is God's great salvation. What all it has in store for us. And when I said a while ago that I've heard all from a lot of people like Phil Miller, "Well, you know, I don't have to go to church." because I am the church. And when I said earlier tonight, we are the church no matter where we go, but God wants us to be part of a body of believers. We are part of a body of believers. I've had people say, well, you know, I can be a Christian, but I don't have to go to church. I can be a Christian and I can do all these things. Show me that again in the New Testament. It's just not New Testament theology. It's not New Testament teaching. You see, to be a Christian, you want to be part of a church. Here's the way that I described it one time. And I don't know where I got this from. It's not original with me. But I had a person say, well, you know, Brother Ken, I can be a Christian, but I don't have to go to church. I said, well, how long have you been married? He said, well, I've only been married about 6 months. I said, let me ask you a question. When you got done at the marriage ceremony, did you say, see you later? I'm not going to go home. It's like, you know, saying I'm going to be a Christian and not go to church is like saying I'm going to be married, but I'm not going to go home. How long do you think you'd stay married? It wouldn't be long, would it? And that's what it is. Being a Christian, being a believer in Jesus Christ, you naturally want to be part of a body of believers. And as sometimes it's difficult and all the things that are wrong with the church, there's churches still where God wants believers to be. And I said to be, not just to do. Our salvation is not private, but it's very personal. I've talked to somebody, and my dad being one of them before, he said, well, Kenny, my salvation is private. No, your salvation is not private. Your salvation is personal, but it's not private. You see, there's a difference between being personal and private. Private is something I'm going to keep to myself, and I'm not ever going to share with anybody else. That's being private. Keep it to myself, not going to share it with anybody else. That goes against the New Testament teaching as well. He said, because you're going to be salt and light. You're going to be salt and light in this world. That makes it not private. Your salvation is personal. It's between you and God. And aren't you glad that you can have a personal relationship with Him? But that personal relationship is going to explode all over you. How it does that? It manifests itself in different ways through different people. But as we come and experience God together, we're going to be able to explode together of what God's doing in our life. Experiencing Him together, it's personal. But folks, it's to be shared with the other bodies of believers. We experience God together. And I don't believe that a person outside a body of believers will ever be able to experience God to the fullest. Neither does the author of the book that we're going to be studying. I want to experience God, and I want to experience it together with you. Would you stand with me tonight?